Welcome to The Convo. I am your host, Lakeisha Mosley. I'm a mom, a blogger, a brand influencer, and the event producer of my own event management company called The LM Experience. On The Convo, you'll hear conversations with some of the most profound entrepreneurs from all over the world as they share with us their wins and their losses. They'll also share tips and tricks with you that will help you be successful along this journey called entrepreneurship. Let's get started with the show. This episode is sponsored by The LM Experience. COVID-19 has really wrecked the event industry, as well as it has affected businesses and companies that normally have in-person events. But I have a solution for you. It's called virtual events. And I know you've already heard about them, but you may be wondering if it's something that you should do. Well, I have a gift for you. I have a checklist of 8 things that you should consider before you plan your next virtual event. It's really easy to get. Just visit bit.ly/VECKLIST. Again, that's bit.ly/VECKLIST. Jeremy Haas is the co-founder and president of Statute Storage, LLC, a Silicon Valley startup revolutionizing the way self-storage is being done. Jeremy comes from a diverse professional background, from studying business administration and finance, along with holding positions in various industries. Jeremy's always dreamed of running a business of his own one day. He's learned the values of leadership and of strong work ethic at a young age. Jeremy grew up in Los Angeles, California, and now resides in the San Francisco Bay Area. Hi, Jeremy. Thank you so much for joining me on Convo with Keisha. How are you today?
Doing great. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited. Like, I cannot wait for the listeners to hear about you and your business and everything. But before we get ahead, start by telling us a little bit about you.
Yeah, so of course, my name is Jeremy Haas. I am currently the co-founder and president of Statute Storage, a limited liability company. And we are taking self-storage to a new environment, a new world. So 10 years ago, everyone thought Airbnb was crazy. Everyone thought Uber and Lyft were these far-fetched ideas that would never really last. Mm-hmm. And now they're household names. I mean, they're some of the largest companies in the world right now. And so a few years ago, my co-founder had this great idea because he was trying to store a boat for a couple of weeks. And he was told that it was going to be an outrageous amount. So mm-hmm. he just thought there had to be a better way to do storage.
Right.
And so he came up with this idea just, I believe he was just having a couple beers one night and just was annoyed by this and thought, can we take this sharing economy, this Airbnb type business model and apply it to self-storage?
Right.
And so I met him through our current advisor, who is a mutual friend of ours. I was looking for a job at the time and I loved the idea so much that I just had to jump on board.
Right.
And here we are 3 years later, almost to the day.
Oh my gosh, that is like so awesome. And you know what people always say? We always have the skills already from like our companies, you know, the companies we work for, and we could just use those same skills into running our own business.
Oh yeah, I mean, definitely. It's everything we've learned over the years, it's something we can use in our own business. It just takes a little bit of tweaking because now instead of an existing business, you're applying that knowledge. Now you have to really learn on the go.
Exactly. I think a lot of people don't think about that. You know, they see us as entrepreneurs and they're like, oh, well, you know, you pretty much got it easy. No, we're like revamping, going back to the drawing board, like so much that it's unreal.
Yeah, we're reinventing the wheel, but we're not.
Exactly. So let's talk about, how did Stash It go from just an idea to like this business?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it started off with my co-founder just having this idea out of frustration, really. And I was looking for a job at the time. I felt I did enough at the previous startup that I was at, and I was looking for a new challenge. So our current advisor is a recruiter, and I applied for a job on his website, and he immediately called me, said, you're not a good fit for this job, but let me introduce you to this guy who I think you really need to meet. And he told me, he's like, it's not a job per se, but you are running your own business. And me growing up, I always wanted to run my own business. So I just had to meet this guy. And immediately I fell in love with the idea. At the time I was married, I had a conversation with my wife saying, this is an opportunity that's being presented to me. Do you think I should go for it? And 2 weeks later, I put in my 2 weeks notice with my job and immediately started working on this idea, and found a developer, worked out a plan with my co-founder as to what we're going to do. And he put all his money into this, his own personal funds, and we said, let's see if it works. And it worked and it didn't work. We went through a lot of hiccups, but that's part of the startup world. We just kept pivoting and kept learning how to do all these things. And we've survived 3 years to this point, completely bootstrapped by my co-founder.
Wow. Like, that's an amazing story. Like, that's an awesome way to start out.
Yeah, it's, especially being in Silicon Valley, all you hear about is all these startups raising tens of millions of dollars for a seed round or a Series A just to see if an idea works. And we've spent a fraction of that amount in 3 years, and we've been able to keep the company small while maintaining this sort of growth. And we are hoping over the next year we can actually get some new investors to help take us to another level. Some people that have actually gone through this phase of a startup and really take us beyond where we are.
Wow. I think that's like totally, totally cool. So we're talking about like this major idea. Talk to us about like, what are the struggles for you as an entrepreneur? Because they think, you know, they see so many people stunned for the gram that they think being an entrepreneur is like so easy. It's really not.
Yeah, I mean, everyone hears about what it's like to be an entrepreneur or a C-suite exec from movies. And it's all you always see is this portrayal of the executives going golfing, or they're always going to business dinners and not really working.
Right.
But in reality, when I first started, I was working 18, 20 hours a day and getting just a few hours of sleep a night just to try to get things running. Because it was literally just me doing all the work. My co-founder is a president of a foundry here in the Bay Area, so that takes up most of his time. And so he's more of a silent investor, advisor, more to me, where I'm executing everything.
Yeah.
One of the struggles for me personally was dealing with the fact that I don't know everything. I always had this idea in my mind that I'm running a business, so I need to know everything, and therefore everything falls on me. And my own arrogance and ego got the best of me in the beginning, where I refused to ask for help, and mm-hmm. that really hurt us. I chose the wrong developer to begin with. We wasted several months of of our production, and therefore I also unfortunately wasted my co-founder's money. But it was a lesson learned for me. And at that point, I realized I need to ask for help more and not rely on myself to do everything. And I need to just realize that other people are willing to help me, that other people can help me, and they have the expertise. And then on top of it, what people don't realize as an entrepreneur, it's extremely lonely. I've lost so many friends just because they say they'll support me, but then they actually don't when it comes time for me saying, hey, sign up for my service. Or even my relationship with my wife. We ended up getting divorced because she couldn't handle the amount of stress that I was going through. And I also wasn't handling my stress very well. I was bottling it all up and just kind of isolating myself.
Exactly.
And it was very difficult to handle that mental health side of it, making sure I'm mentally healthy and also physically healthy. I gained a ton of weight, and these are a lot of things that you don't see portrayed in movies or even shows like Silicon Valley, where it was actually a great portrayal of what I go through, but they don't shed light on a lot of these things.
Exactly. You hit it head on. When I started out as an entrepreneur, I want to say probably within months, I was divorced. On the path to divorce. And then probably like about a year later, we actually divorced. Like, it's a lot of stress. We don't know how as entrepreneurs to ask for help. Like, we just refuse.
I had a conversation with someone recently saying that, entrepreneurs hate having bosses, which is why we become entrepreneurs, but we become our own worst enemy because we go through that realization that we do need help, and now we don't have that help.
Right.
So it's that double-edged sword that we go through and we have to overcome to end up being successful, whatever form that takes. It could be the business becomes successful. It could be the realization that we take our entrepreneurship skills to another company and be a manager. It all depends on each individual.
Exactly. I think you really hit on some really good points with that. And we try to help other people with, you know, our advice. They won't take it, but we're like, listen, reach out, ask for help. Like, this lifestyle is not easy.
No, not at all. It has its perks. I mean, I've been able to, my family lives just outside of Los Angeles, and I'm in the Bay Area, so it's about a 7-hour drive. I've been able to see them more often, but I have no vacations. Even when I'm taking time off for, say, the holidays over winter, I'm still working. Christmas morning last year with my family, I was working after we had breakfast.
Right.
And most people won't understand why I'm doing that.
Yeah, that's a lot. So think about that and everything else you got going on, Jeremy. Like, everything else. How do you handle balancing a totally hectic workload? Because I can only imagine. With family, everything else we got going on.
it's a work in progress every day. I mean, I have my advisor constantly telling me more stuff about how to handle my time more than anything else. His expertise is really in business growth and revenue growth, but a lot of the conversations that we have are around, okay, manage your time wisely, put everything in your calendar. There should be no empty blocks in your calendar. So I'm working a ton, but because I need to focus on my own health. If I'm sick, I can't work. So I have to prioritize my own health, eating better, working out. And so after my divorce, I went through a bout of depression, which really hurt the company as well because I wasn't productive. I ended up adopting a puppy that got me exercising more. And so I do things... if I don't put it in my calendar, I'm not going to do it. So
Right.
Anyone who looks at my phone will see every single day is mapped out. I even have times where it's saying, okay, you want to relax right now, put it in your phone. That way it gets blocked off. So that way you have time set aside. And a lot of things with family, I try to set as much time aside for them, but they do realize more now that I am working a lot, and I try my best to set aside time to at least jump on a call with my niece and my nephews, so they remember I'm still around and they don't see me every day. So it's always a challenge, but I'm always improving on a lot of those time management skills, especially as we get more and more busy.
Right. That's so true, because that balance, and it is whatever we work it out to be, whenever it's created, it just makes things just flow so much better. Like, other people may not understand it, but it works for us.
Right. Yeah. I know some people, their way to balance things out is just take whatever fire is in front of them and just put that out first and move on to the next thing. And as things pop up, they just keep doing it. Whereas for me, my amount of stress, the way my mind works, I thrive in those situations, but I can't maintain it for a very long period of time, because my mind will always wander as to what's coming next. How can I prevent the next thing that's going to happen? So if I don't plan it out, or at least set time aside saying, okay, handle this issue or handle that issue, I'm going to neglect a lot of the business otherwise. So I have to take care of things from accounting standpoints, from product management and product development. And sometimes those things aren't always coming up at once. Sometimes I won't hear from my product development team for a couple weeks, and therefore I won't do anything unless it's in my calendar. So I have to force myself to say, okay, let me tag up with the software developers and find out what we need to do, what can we improve on, and so on and so forth.
Right. That's so true. So going through a global pandemic right now, everybody's trying to figure out what they are going to do. So what would you tell people who are looking to get into entrepreneurship?
You love live streams, and we love live streams. And what we all know about live streams is that they're hard to find. A pain in the ass, even. Often, you find out about them after they've already happened. And how helpful is that? Introducing Yak.live, a website that puts all live streams in one place, so they're easy to find, easy to add to your calendar, so you never miss another one again. Whether you're looking for more from Lakeisha, a yoga session, or John Legend live performances, Yak.live has the streams you're looking for and those you've yet to discover. And if you'd like your live streams to be on Yak.live, you can do that too. Yak.live is the official home of all live streams.
I would tell everyone, I'm a firm believer in going after what you want. If you think it's something that you want to do, if you think you can be successful at it, go and try it. Now's the time where it's kind of, whether you fail or succeed, this is a time where everyone will look at it as a complete wash if you fail. If you succeed, great. You find out something amazing about yourself, and right, it could be something that you really enjoy. You can pursue a passion, but I would rather try something and fail than wonder what if. I've gone through a lot of my life just kind of putting stuff aside because I took the easy route and not going after what I really wanted. And some of those things I look back and wonder how different my life would have been if I actually went after that, if I learned some of these things earlier. But I say go after it, try to be an entrepreneur. You can start it with little side hustles like our company. I mean, it takes a few hours a month at most, and just test the waters. But if you're really diving into entrepreneurship, trying to start a company, like a high-tech company or anything of that nature, the biggest thing is to have a solid support system and make sure that whoever is around you will support you. and that they are on board with it too, because as much as you're taking on this sort of endeavor, your family and support system are the ones going to be dealing with you really.
Exactly.
All your stress. I've lashed out so many times at my family just out of stress. My ex-wife actually, I remember one time specifically, I was so stressed out having a panic attack because I was drinking water out of a coffee mug versus a normal drinking glass. And that seems so weird, but that's how bad my mental state got dealing with my stress. Mm-hmm. And that happens to everyone.
Yeah.
Running a company, you'll have those moments where you have these weird breakdowns that you can't explain otherwise, and people just have to deal with it. And if they're not up for it, it's going to be even worse.
Exactly. You make so many like really important points in that. And which is why when I talk to entrepreneurs or new entrepreneurs, I say you have to include and involve family and friends who will be close to you. Like make them like your mini board of directors that you have to report to or be held accountable to, because if not, then they don't understand the stress you're going through. They don't understand the things that you have to deal with. When I first started my business, both of my kids were still in high school and very active in high school on top of that. So it was a matter of, you know, having to say, okay, mommy may not be able to make it at the first beginning, but I'll be there toward the end, or I'll be there in the middle, but keeping them informed that, okay, this is what the adjustments will be, and have gotten a lot better over the years, although now they're grown, but you still have to communicate, you know, those things to them so they'll have an understanding.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is don't, especially with your family, your support system, don't hide anything, don't sugarcoat anything, because at the end of the day, most people will figure out if something is wrong, or in the event you need to completely cancel plans. I mean, I actually just did it for Labor Day weekend. I was planning to go down to visit my family and ended up not, because I had a lot of work to do still. And just being open with them, they understand, versus just trying to ball it up and let them figure it out on their own. That leads to awkward conversations as to what's going on. Is everything okay? Are you okay? But I'd rather be upfront with them and avoid wasting several hours of my time and their time just to arrive at the same scenario that I could spend 5 minutes updating them on, hey, I can't go down this weekend and visit you guys.
Right. That makes so much sense. And we have to be communicative like that. We have to really share those things so people will understand. I noticed when I first, you know, kind of got really, really serious and my business started to take off, like I had to even have those conversations with my friends because they didn't understand why, you know, oh, Lakeisha just can't go at the drop of a hat. No, I have to schedule and, you know, plan all those things in.
Yeah, I tell some of my friends, I mean, luckily living in the Bay Area, a lot of people I spend time with are aware of what it's like to be an entrepreneur, or they've attempted it themselves. And so a lot of times my friends will say, hey, let's hang out, let's grab a beer, let's watch a movie, whatever it may be. And they realize that a lot of times if they ask me last second, the answer is going to be no. But if they ask me a week or two in advance, I can most likely at least say, okay, I got a few hours I can set aside to just decompress from everything.
Right.
And my friends have done a really good job of adhering to the fact that I have this weird schedule.
Yes.
And I'm still making time to spend time with my friends, so that way I can make sure I'm mentally okay, and they can also make sure that I'm getting out of my apartment, because another thing that for me is I don't have a physical office. My team is 100% remote.
Right.
And so the only time I really get out of my apartment right now is walking my dog.
Right.
So I'm staring at the same walls the entire time, and that makes someone that can make anyone go a little stir crazy.
Exactly, exactly. And especially now too, you know, where most of us are under, you know, very loosely, but stay at home orders. For me, it really doesn't bother me. Honestly, I like being at home. Like, this was almost my way of life anyway, other than going to the grocery store or maybe out with friends. But yeah, they do make us say, close the laptop. Like, put the phone down.
Yeah, it definitely makes it a lot harder for me because I've always worked from home. I'm extremely goal-oriented. Like, I want this company to succeed, not just for my own dreams that I want to achieve, but also because there's so many more people that are depending on me to make sure this company succeeds. But one thing I've realized more and more, especially through this pandemic, is I cannot sit in front of my computer 24 hours a day. I do need to unplug and just even just walk around the neighborhood. I take some time every day to hang up flyers on people's cars or things like that, just to get away from my computer, get away from my phone. Right. And sometimes I'll even just turn off all the power in my apartment and just say, okay, I'm not touching any electronics. Let me write in a journal or something. Let me do something other than sit on the computer.
Right. That's true. That's true. Because sometimes we can get wrapped up in the thing so quickly, so easily that, yeah, we definitely, you know, lose track of time. So really, really good points. I really, really love that. So let's think back. What if you can go back to the beginning of Stash It? Like, what would you have done differently?
I definitely would have done a lot of things different. Ultimately, I don't think we would be where we're at if we didn't go through a lot of the issues we did. But generally, I would change just how I approach a lot of things. I mentioned that my own arrogance and ego kind of got the best of me in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I would definitely reach out for a lot more help. I mean, I did things, like I said, my advisor is his expertise is hiring people as well as finding the right people for the jobs, mm-hmm. As well as revenue strategy and all those things. And I wish I would have listened to him a lot sooner. I mean, I did things, like I said, I chose the wrong developer. And when he told me there was someone better. I should have listened to him. I didn't. I look back and those were some of the things, those little things that I could have changed with my own ego. I would have changed those and I would have started learning more a lot sooner. I dedicate at least an hour a day to just reading on different aspects of business and even I've started learning how to code. My background's in finance, so I never really learned how to build software. So the learning how to code at least the basics, I can at least have conversations with my developers in more technical terms as to what needs to be done and understand those things. And it helps me work more efficiently. And there's a lot I would change, but realistically, my own ego is probably the only thing I would have made any changes to.
Right, right. And I say that for myself too, you know, because I think we get into this game thinking that we should know everything because we chose to be entrepreneurs, but that's really not the case. Like, we still, you know, need assistance. We still need to listen to other people and everything else. Like, it's crazy how we just go into this thing.
Yeah, I've kind of, I'm still hoping for that sort of movie portrayal of what it's like to be an executive, but at the end of the day, I've learned I need to surround myself with the people that know how to do these things, and that's the way I'll get there, is I'll manage those people and kind of bring the whole picture together rather than try to do everything myself.
Right. Absolutely. So what's next for Stash It? Like, what's the next big thing for y'all?
So our hope is over the next few months, we can bring on another investor as our official seed round. So that way we can expand a lot more. I mean, we've gotten several people to sign up outside of California and pockets of Texas, Tennessee, and some other cities around the country, but we've really focused only on California to this point. So if we can raise these funds successfully, which I'm confident we will, our hope is to really expand over to the East Coast, where storage is really prevalent, as well as Texas a lot more, and really just take over the country and bring our services to everyone across the US. And hopefully within a couple of years, we can come back to a sense of normalcy and be large enough to expand beyond US borders. Right. That, as you can imagine, that adds another layer of complexities with laws and such, but it's something that is on our radar for the future.
Right. I think that's so awesome. Like, those are some really big but achievable goals. I think y'all definitely are on the right path. I know a lot of people are looking for, you know, ways to just really expand their homes without like having to not do much. You know, like, who can afford a total remodel? Especially in this day and age.
I mean, living in the Bay Area, it's kind of what's more cost effective, buying a new house or just doing a remodel? I mean, both of them are expensive here.
Yeah.
But hearing about some of my friends that live across the country, well, first of all, I mean, I get irritated every time they tell me how much it costs. A little one bedroom condo here in the Bay Area goes for about $500,000.
Oh my God.
Whereas I have friends that live in Colorado Springs and they have a three bedroom house that they've paid less than what I'm paying for rent here in a one bedroom apartment. But I mean, a lot of people are looking for side hustles or even just ways to pay down their mortgage faster before they have kids. I mean, everyone buys a larger property than what they currently need. And most people use it for storage anyway. So why not, if you want to be an entrepreneur, try out Stashit, because you can dedicate very little time while understanding what it takes to be an entrepreneur and make a little bit of money off of the space you currently have.
Right. That's so neat. Listeners, I hope y'all paying attention, because that's definitely an opportunity. Definitely. So tell the listeners how they can get connected with you, learn more about it, you know, get involved.
Of course. So I am personally, you can reach out to me on Twitter or Instagram, or even find me on LinkedIn. It's not that hard. On Instagram and Twitter, my handle is jhass_CEO. That's HASS, just so everyone knows that. And you can easily find links to Stashit from there, or you can just go on any social media platform and search Stashit self-storage and we will pop up. Any messaging you use on social media platforms actually go directly to me. And so you will get the best answers interacting directly with me. It's not one of my employees. I actually take customer service very seriously. And I think that if I dedicate time to answer anyone's questions, they will see the value a lot quicker than someone. A lot of people know they, when you use chat features and such, you're getting some sort of robot or someone overseas that has a little sheet of answers. Whereas now with us, you are interacting directly with the person who's designed this entire thing.
Right, exactly. Oh my gosh, that's great. So I'll make sure all your information is in the show notes so that they can get connected with you and definitely reach out if they have any more questions, you know, or definitely want to, you know, just be a part of this whole thing. Like, I think it's now is the time with everything that's going on is to get involved with really good businesses from, you know, the ground up, so you can really maximize what you can do. Because we, like you say, it's going to open up soon. We just don't know when.
Yeah, and one more thing is, on top of the fact that you can make money with Stashit renting out your home, we do also have a referral program. So if you reach out to me, I can set you up with a referral code. So you can actually get paid for referring people to us. And on top of that, we've dedicated a portion of our profits, as our company grows, a portion of our profits actually go to helping the environment and helping find more affordable solutions for housing in metropolitan areas. I mean, it's not getting any cheaper. So we're dedicated to solving more problems than just storage.
Yes, yes, that sounds so great. So thank you so much for coming on and talking about your business, but also being transparent about your struggles. I think a lot of times we hear all the good stuff, but we don't hear people's struggles with, you know, being an entrepreneur and a startup on top of that.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And yes, a lot of people will never hear about the ugly side of startups and being an entrepreneur. Right. You always go online on Instagram. I mean, I'm flooded with sponsored posts, people saying, hey, learn how to make thousands of dollars a month by just following my step-by-step solution that you can replicate. Just pay me $100 and do it. You always see the glamorous side, but you'll never hear about what it takes to actually get there. And every major CEO of major company, they've gone through a lot of this. Jeff Bezos is one of the perfect examples. I mean, everyone's seen the picture of him when Amazon first started, sitting behind a desk. And you won't hear those stories unless you actually ask them personally.
Right. That's like, that's my fictionary, like, uncle. That's like, that's Uncle Jeff, you know? So everything Uncle Jeff does, I'm like, okay, what you doing next, Uncle Jeff? What you doing next? But you're right. It starts from somewhere. So again, I just really thank you for joining us today and sharing your story. And we will definitely be checking in with you later on to see how things are going and growing on top of that.
Yeah. I'm more than happy to jump on anytime. Always give me a call, reach out to me via email. I'm always more than happy to share updates with you.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to The Convo. I hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to subscribe on Anchor or Apple Podcasts.